Some would teach that once we're saved, we're all set. God will bless us, no matter what we do. After all, we're going to heaven. But when God detects a spirit of unbelief in his children, he gets angry. That's the teaching of Hebrews chapter 3, our focus on today's broadcast. For some candid lessons on what God expects of you, stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our series is Highlights from Hebrews, and today we're turning again to Hebrews chapter 3. In this, the second message in his series, Dr. Lutzer is teaching us about living with missed opportunities and what happens when we get hard hearts.
Some of you have had so much truth, you've had so much gospel, you've had so many sermons, you've had so much appeal. That was for emphasis there. You've had all that, and you're sleeping through it. You're sleeping through it. Oh, beware, lest there be in you a hard heart. How soft should our hearts be? Well, someone has said that our hearts should be so soft that should a leaf fall onto our hearts, it would leave an imprint. Now, that's a soft heart. That's why in the Old Testament it says, plow up the ground. Why? It's ground that has been so long dormant, and you can live with yourself so long that you no longer hear God. You don't expect to hear him, and when he speaks, you turn him off. You turn him off. I wouldn't doubt but there'd be some who are listening to this message who, after it is over, you get into your car, you go home, you turn on the television, and you stifle whatever God might be saying to you at this moment. So they had a hard heart. God said, I'm not amused. Secondly, it says that they tested God. You'll notice it says in verse 9, where your fathers tried me by testing me. Now, you have to understand the context. This quotation, which you see in your Bible, which is kind of set off, in my Bible it is all capitals, is really a quote from Psalm 95. But Psalm 95 is talking here about the book of Exodus, chapter 17. Let me remind you of the story that when they came across the Red Sea, they were very thirsty. God led them in the desert and let them be thirsty. Now, God did enough miracles so that they could trust him. I mean, remember the miracles of the plagues that were given in Egypt. And then they came across that Red Sea, and as they were coming across the sea, it parted, and they were astounded at the miracles, and they sang that wonderful song that we had a part of it read to us today. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. And then God said, what I'm going to do in the desert. Now, let me ask you a question. What is the thing that you need most in the desert? You could live for a couple of days without food. You could live with a couple of days without other kinds of provisions. You could sleep outside and still survive without a tent. But there's one thing that you need, and that is water. So God says, you know, because you need water the most, I'm going to test you with regard to the thing that is most necessary for you, namely water. And so God let them go in the desert, and they walked 3 days without water. You remember, and then they came to Marah. And then the same story happens again in Exodus 17, and they begin to grumble at Moses. And they say, Moses, why did you bring us out of Egypt to die here in this desert? It's your fault. And every night around the campfire, if they lit a fire, they'd always say, we have a topic for discussion. But the topic was always the same topic. Namely, is God with us or isn't he? That was the discussion. God said, I'm not taking this lightly. Look at all that I've done for you, and then you guys talking like this. And so he said to Moses, he said, you go ahead and strike the rock and water will flow. And Moses struck the rock and water flowed. But God says, this is Meribah. This is the place of testing. I have the right to test you, but you have no right to test me, to put me to the test to see whether or not I will come through for you. Parenthesis. Remember that they were there in the desert by the will of God. They were thirsty by the will of God. This was their appointed time to be tested. And why were they being tested? That their faith might increase. You see, as long as God answers our prayers, our faith grows quietly and slowly. But when God stops answering our prayers, and when there is no water, and when there is no job, and when your employer tells you that you are fired, and when there is injustice that comes your way, now your faith has the opportunity to begin to grow in leaps and bounds. You see, to believe God when everything is going well, that's how our faith grows silently. But to believe Him when that which is most precious to us is taken away, then faith begins to grow more quickly and you begin to leap in your relationship with God. Let me say it again. They were there by divine appointment. God said, "Be thirsty." And they said, "We don't like it. We're not going to trust God because what if He doesn't come through?" Well, He had in the past. Now, what the author of Hebrews here is saying to those Jews who believed in Christ but then began to wonder whether Christ was enough, and when they began to wonder whether God was really believable, he said, beware of testing God. Beware of discarding all the miracles in the past and then saying, "Now, God, if you want me to believe you, you have to do this. You have to give me that job. You have to heal that person. You have to heal this relationship. You must do this, God, or I'm not going to believe you." Beware, that is testing God. Don't ever test God. One day the devil came to Jesus, and in that temptation he took Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple in Jerusalem and said, "You know, cast yourself down." And then the devil, you know, who obviously must attend Sunday school because he knew some verses. The devil says, because, you know, it's written in the Psalms, "He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands he shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." So Jesus, jump. God will catch you. Notice what the devil was doing. Instead of putting verses of Scripture alongside one another, he was bringing verses of Scripture against one another. And if there's anything that he would like us to do, it is to sin while we have our finger on a text of Scripture that we can quote. And Jesus said, "Thou shalt not test the Lord thy God." That's what the Bible says, but worship Him only. Don't try to put God into a box. Don't try to put Him in a corner so that He must come through for you. Beware. They hardened their hearts. They tested God. And of course, the way that it's explained here, perhaps the summary statement is that they fell away. Verse 12. "Take care, brethren, lest there should be in any one of you an unbelieving evil heart falling away from the living God." You say, "Well, Pastor Luther, you know, I don't have much faith, but that's just one of my weaknesses." Well, I'm willing to tell you that it's a weakness, but God says it is an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, they fell away. I don't believe that they fell away into hell. They fell away because they didn't enter into the land of Canaan. Canaan was the land of rest, and they did not receive the blessings that God had laid out for them. He said, "I have a spread for you there in Canaan. I have laid out the land. It is all there for you. All that you need to do is to have the faith to believe that because I've given it to you, you can actually have the strength to pick it up." And they said, no. They said no while they were in the desert at Kadesh Barnea. They decisively said no. And God says, "You're going to wander in this desert for 40 years. Your bones are going to bleach in the desert. And the next generation will go in. But you folks won't, because you were too stubborn, too hard, too much concerned about testing me. And you fell away." What a tragedy. Can we fall away? Yeah, I don't believe that believers fall away and lose their salvation into hell. But you and I can fall away from the living God when we begin to look elsewhere to have fulfilled in our lives only that which God is supposed to fulfill. We can fall away when we begin to no longer believe God's promises. When we begin to do our own thing, we go our own way. We become bitter. We become angry. We become focused in our disobedience, and we fall away. And what happens is we do not enter into the land that God has prepared. We look at the enemies, and we see the enemies as greater than God. And so we just go with the flow. And the author of the book of Hebrews is saying, you had better beware, and I had better beware. Now, what I'd like to do to focus this and to help it bring it down to life so that we leave changed forever, and I always believe that when you're in the Word, you should leave changed. Here are three lessons I'd like to share with you. First of all, unbelief makes God angry. Now, that should be clear, but unbelief makes God angry. You've had other people angry at you. We're talking here about the Almighty. Now, why is it that unbelief makes God so wrought up? What's his problem? Well, first of all, it's insulting. It's really insulting. You know, we forget that, but if somebody came to you and said, you know, you are really a nice person. You're good looking, you're talented, you're gifted, but you do have one problem, and that is, I can't believe a thing that you say. That's not too great a compliment. And God says, when you tell me that, I'm not amused by that. You say, oh, well, you know, he expects blind faith. Listen, no blind faith at all. Faith with wonderful supporting evidence. Enough faith for anybody who wants to believe. Not blind faith. God never requires it. He just expects the same kind of faith that we exercise in normal relationships. You know, here I am with a bronchial problem that I've had for a couple of weeks. I go to a doctor whose name I can't pronounce. He gives me a prescription which I most assuredly cannot read. I give it to a pharmacist whom I've never met. He gives me pills that I am unable to analyze, and I go ahead and take them anyway. Now, God doesn't expect any more than that from us. So God says, you insult me by your unbelief, and also unbelief leads to other sins. That's why it is the greatest sin that you can commit. You see, because long before you choose to break the other commandments, you have already had contempt of God, as Luther said. All sin is contempt of God. I find it interesting that God says that our hearts are evil if we are unbelieving. You know the phrase that says that beware lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief. This is Pastor Lutzer. As you know, from time to time when we can't believe God, we think it's just a weakness, or we develop an ability to not believe God by telling us that his word is not trustworthy. God looks at it very, very differently. Because it is true that without faith it is impossible to please him, because of that, he calls an unbelieving heart evil. So I conclude today and ask you, what is God saying about your heart when it comes to his word and his promises?
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today we've heard words of warning from Dr. Erwin Lutzer, who's brought part two of Living with Missed Opportunities, the second of six messages in his series, Highlights from Hebrews. Tomorrow, some final thoughts about a believer's unbelief. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our series from Hebrews will help you draw near to God in fully assured faith. Highlights from Hebrews can be yours on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to Running to Win. For details, call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. On the internet, go to offerrtw, all one word, .com. Finally, you can write to Running to Win, Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Don't miss tomorrow's Running to Win.